Does anybody remember what are the things that the children inherit from us? Anybody? The principles that we have, and then priorities, and then practices. So these are the three things that our children are inheriting from us. And that is very important because those are foundational. Right? Amen. And we need to practice that strongly in our life. Because they are growing, and if they don't have those inheritance that they have, what else do you think is gonna happen? They're gonna have their own. Right? And most of the time, it might be not right. So it's important to practice that inheritance to our children. Because these are not finances. This is not money. This is not physical things. But these are the things that nobody can take that away from them. Right? Amen. So this morning, in relation to that, it's about the children that we have. And the title of my message this morning, do we have that air? Who's my daddy? Who's my daddy? And I was Number of years ago, I was driving in downtown LA, and I saw this sign, and with this message, and it says, "Who is my daddy? DNA testing, call 9 something." And I guess this is the sign of the times that there is a market of this kind of needs, right? The kind of services that we have. That's why they have shown that in the like an advertisement, right? And it's all going on, not only in LA, probably in Sacramento. I saw this kind too in Sacramento when I used to go up there. But then in LA, they have this, "Who is my daddy?" So probably there's a lot of people that are using this service. Right? That's the topic that we have this morning. But I can tell you, who doesn't use them? Those whose family the resemblance are clear. Those are the people that doesn't use this. Are those who have their family, their resemblance are very clear. There's a strong indication that is really your baby. Where the resemblance is strong and the parentage is clear. And where the resemblance is missing, then parentage could possibly be called into question. And probably that might be, that's why they have the use of that. Right? But Jesus makes the same point about spiritual parentage to the religious leader that he talks to in today's conversation with Jesus. So I want you to open your Bible with me. Bible with me on John chapter 8, verse 31 to 45. We're going to read that one. Because there is a popular concept. There's a popular concept or idea in our world today that God is the father of all mankind. And as Sister Rose shared with us this morning, that every road goes to heaven. But no matter what people says that the world, that God is the father of all mankind, that no matter how creed or religion or concept of God that He is the Father of all of us and we are all brothers and sisters? There's a song that says, "Let there be peace on earth." I don't know if you guys heard that. And I think it was sung by Boston Boys Choir, that we are all brothers and sisters. But there's only one problem with that picture. It's true in our passage today that Jesus makes it abundantly clear that not only is God not the Father of all mankind, but He is not even the Father of many who consider themselves His children. Do you believe that? That God is not the Father of all mankind, right? And so how do we know if God is our Father? If we are spiritually heirs, or if we are spiritually heirs of the devil? Is there a DNA test for all of us whether our God is our Father? Well, there is no DNA test. But there are some diagnostic measures that we'd like to apply that this morning. They are the one Jesus uses to show the religious leaders of His day that their paternity was in doubt. Right? There are three distinguishing marks for the children of God. Right? And the first thing that we can distinguish whether the children of God is God is the Father or the devil is their father. The first thing that we can distinguish to these children are whether there is freedom. They have a freedom. In John chapter 8, did I see John? John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. Are you all there? John chapter 1, chapter 8. Are you all there? 31 to 36. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you don't have your Bible, I have it in the board. They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaved by any. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will what? You will be free indeed." So the people that responded to Jesus in verse 33 seems to be not those who had believed in Him, that He had addressed these verses in 31 and 32. But now they say, "Look, how can you set us free when we are descendants of Abraham and a free man?" Immediately Jesus questioned their place in their family, saying, "They are indeed slaves because they are slaves to sin." See, the only sons have a place in the family. Jesus says He is the one who can set us free so that we might be sons and have a place in God's family. See, if we have sinned, we don't have a place in God's family. And how does He do that? He will, in a few verses earlier, He makes it clear that it is through His being lifted up in the cross. He pays for the price for our sin to set us free from its bondage. You see, because He was the one who paid for our sin, right? And that makes us the children of God, those who believe on Jesus Christ. Right? Amen? What's man need? Do you know? Have you heard from Watchman Nee. He is a missionary to China. And he tells about a new convert who came in deep distress to see him. The new convert says, "No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem to be faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation." And Watchman Nee, the last name is Nee, N-E-E, said, "Do you see this dog here? He is my dog. He is in the house. He is house trained. He never makes a mess. He is obedient. He is pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. He is a total mess. But who is going to inherit my kingdom? My dog or my son?" My son inherits the kingdom. Amen? Because he belongs to the family. You are Jesus Christ's ears. Right? Because it is for you that he died. But we are Christ's ears, not through our perfection, but by means of his grace. Do we sing that song? Grace is enough. Amen? You cannot add your work in there. You cannot add your having a crucifix inside your house. It's only the grace. Grace is enough. That's why we sing that song, "Grace is enough." Amen? Now, this freedom from sin bondage that Christ offers is not freedom to sin. It's but freedom from sin. And that's a lot of people have kind of misunderstand that. Because we think that we, now that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we have freedom to sin. But it's not. We have freedom from sin. That's what Jesus Christ gave us. That we have, it's not just its consequences, but also from its slavery. Yes, like the new convert in the story, we will slip and fall, but because we are free, we are still part of the family of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Someone said that, you know, sometimes we don't need to be told, but we need to be reminded. Amen? And probably, I'm sure, you know this already, but we need to be reminded that God save us. And whoever turn their life to Jesus Christ and accept him as our Lord, as their Lord and Savior, you become family of God. You become part of the family. Amen? And you have, you know, you make a mistake, you commit sin, but the Bible says that God has enough mercy and grace for all of us. Amen? We fall down, we stumble, but God says, come back and ask for forgiveness because he delights in forgiving us. Amen? So that we have freedom. The first distinguishing mark of being the child of God is that we have the freedom. Freedom from sin. Amen? Sin doesn't get hold of you. He doesn't have a hold of you. You can say no to sin. Amen? So the second mark of God's children is faithfulness. Amen? Faithfulness. In John chapter 8, we're still at chapter 8, right? 8 and verse 38 to 39. Are you there? Verse 38, it says, "I speak that I have sinned with my father, and you do what you have sinned with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So, children are faithful to their to the family reputation. Children are expected to live in accordance with the standard in the house. Right? Somebody said that in my house, I rule. Right? The same thing in the house of God, God's rule. Amen? When they fail to do so consistently, then they are not really sons at all. If they keep doing and doing and doing. Amen? Jesus says to the Pharisees, look, I know you're Abraham's descendant, but you're not really his children. Or you look like him. You act like him. Amen? There's this guy from Zimbabwe in June chapter 7, 2002. His name is Mika Mufu in Zano City. Councilman announced that he was disowning his son, Ticha, who is a member of the rival political party. And he said, I want to seek legal recourse so that I will stop him from using my surname, said Mofu. He said he had 9 other children and did not want to have anything to do with Tisha because in addition to supporting his political rivals, he was also a thief. See, Jesus is not just clear that his father had no use for those. You know, if your son, if you deliver a son or a children, you cannot deny him from using your own last name because it's your son. Right? I cannot deny Irvin as my son because he stole the pen from at work. He is my son. He has to go with my last name unless somebody has petitioned to the court for, there is that term that they use, adoption, right? So he can use his own last name. But Jesus is just as clear that his father had no use for those who claimed to be his son, but in reality supported the programs and plans for his rivals. And you don't have the right to use the name because you don't live in the reality. Right? Those who are the children of God, though they are not slaves, they will be faithful and they are not faithful. Jesus says, they are not really my son if they are not faithful to me. Right? Amen? So finally, so there's faithfulness. It's the one that distinguishing mark of a child of God is that faithfulness to the Father. So there is a freedom, there is a faithfulness that distinguishing mark that we can see from in the children of God. And the last one, there is fellowship. In John chapter 8, verses 41 to 44, it says, 41 to 44, it says, You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of a fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. And verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resource. For he is the liar and the father of it. So, Jesus says to those who are God's children to love him. This is pretty clear that those who don't accept him as being God's son, the promised one, The one who brings the message of God, by rejecting him, they reject the Father. So there's no hand-holding or kumbaya around the campfire with those of differing religious belief here. This is explicit because Jesus says, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. So you see, well, that's not fair. People were raised with other ideas. Yes, but those standing there could not claim that they did not know the claim of Christ. Because Christ himself, Christ is clear in the first hand. And more importantly, Jesus makes it crystal clear that those who don't accept this message choose not to accept it for themselves and are therefore without excuses. Right? They don't have excuses. Look at verse 43 and 44. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Belong to your father, the devil. You belong to the father, your devil, and you want to carry out your own desire. See? The message testifies to itself in the heart of those who are willing and eager to hear the truth. So the genuine seekers, the ring of truth, the resounding authenticity is undeniable. We could not deny a person that they don't know that. When that time comes, when we all stand before the Lord, we cannot say, you know what? I did not hear that. Because God will do everything that he needs to do, that everybody that has not heard the message of the mercy and grace of God must hear, so that there is no excuses when we stand before the Lord, when that day comes. Right? Those who are sons of the Father love the Son. Right? If someone said to you, look, I like you. I want to be close to you. But I don't have any patience of your son. So please don't bring him over. That's probably what hindered the person to you. Right? He says, I like Sister Pia, but I don't like her daughter. I don't like her son. See? How can it be? Because if you reject my son, you reject me. That the Father said. Jesus is saying that God says the same thing. If you reject the message of my son, I reject you too. So how does the resemblance look like? Do you have freedom? Do you have faithfulness? Do you have fellowship with God? How can we know that those are things present in our life? Right? So now we cannot say, you know what? Your son, you're not the child of God. Or you are the child of God. Because we know. Because there is some distinguishing mark. There is, you don't have to have a DNA. But there is a distinguishing mark that we can see that indeed they are sons and daughters of God. Amen? Those are the three things that we can take hold of them. And what are those? What are the three distinguishing mark? We have the freedom from sin, and then we have faithfulness and fellowship with the Lord and with my brothers and sisters. Amen? Shall we all stand?
Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you that we can come, Lord, and as you remind us, Lord, with this message, Lord, that distinguishing mark of a child of God, that we have freedom, we have a fellowship and faithfulness, Lord, to you, Lord God. Lord, we pray that you will remind us, Lord,
all the time, Lord God, as we walk, Lord, as we instruct this to our children, Lord, that even when we lie down, Lord, and when we walk to the grocery, Lord, and wherever we go, Lord God, that we can instill this in the heart of our children, Lord God, so that they will be reminded, Lord, of the things that you do, Lord, that you died for us, Lord, so that we may be able, Lord, to come to you in your family, the family of God. And you put us, Lord, in a church where your word is instructed to all of us, Lord God. And Father, this morning we are be thankful, Lord Jesus, that you have reminded us again, as you've been reminded us last week and a week before that, Lord God, of the things that you need to do, Lord, that you do, that your work is completed, Lord God. That now it's up to us, Lord, to respond, Lord, to reciprocate the love of God that we have, Lord, that you first loves us, and that we are able, Lord, to love you, Lord, with all of our heart and with all of our mind and with all of our strength. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for everyone, Lord, that are here this morning, Lord. And Father, as we bring our tithes and offering, we thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed us. And as we bring, Lord, that you will even multiply it, Lord, 40 times, 60 times, 100 times, Lord, for what they give, Lord God, because they have shown faithfulness to your kingdom, Lord. And Father, we thank you. And we bless you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.